Welcome to the Faith Homestead Podcast, where we talk to you about God, family, homesteading, frugal living, and all the in-between. We're your hosts, Sarah
and Matt, and we thank you for joining us today. Please take a minute to subscribe, and we hope you stay a while.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Faith Homestead. I'm Sarah.
And I'm Matt.
And we welcome you today. So today we're going to be talking about something that is on everybody's minds right now, and that is chickens. If you are like everybody else, you are noticing that the price of eggs is skyrocketing. And so we're going to talk to you today about what we did 2 years ago when we decided to get chickens and our whole process from getting baby chicks in the mail delivered to us from building our coop. So if you guys could please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you are listening, and we appreciate you being here with us today. So Matt, do you want to start talking to our audience today about a little bit about our process of getting the chickens for the first time and what that was like?
So we started looking into chickens. Before we started really looking into what our local laws were, we started looking into getting chickens. Fortunately, the borough we live in decided to have a vote on whether keeping chickens in the borough was going to then be allowed again. For a period of time, it was allowed and then not allowed, and then it became allowed again. So really, you know, kind of timed out okay for us. So I would definitely recommend checking local ordinances before you start building a chicken coop.
Yes, we have heard so many sad horror stories of people that they don't check with their local ordinances and their in local townships and boroughs that they live in. And they do all this work and they spend all this money to get chickens. And then a neighbor doesn't really like it too much and they have to take everything down. It's really it's a heartache, especially for families that have little kids that grow really into, you know, like the husbandry of chickens and just the, you know, having little friends running around out back. And so just really make sure you keep an eye on and check with what your local government says.
So, yeah, we looked into the idea and the concepts of chicken coops and where are we keeping the chicken, stuff like that. And that was really ground zero for my end of it, looking at, you know, where are we housing them. Really, there are plenty of manufacturers of chicken coops that I think would work. They just weren't what I was looking for. Wasn't what we were really looking for, is not only just in the amount of room inside the coop for the actual birds themselves, but the runs and how people were building runs. What were they doing? How were they keeping the predators out? So
yeah,
it just made the most sense for us to build our own chicken coop.
Yeah. And I really wanted something that was going to kind of stand the test of time. And unfortunately, a lot of the pre-manufactured chicken coops that you can buy, they're okay. They do the job, but they don't really stand the test of time and all this weather and things like that. And so I wanted something that was, you know, going to be sturdy, that I was going to be able to. My biggest thing too was my dad actually suggested that if we were going to build a coop, that it needs to get cleaned out, which we understood. But he said a lot of the chicken coops that are manufactured today, like you can't like walk in them and clean them out and shovel them out and things like that. And I didn't even think about that. So a lot of the coops that they have today, you have to take breaks and you're working with this little space that you have to like get all the debris out. And you can't really give it a good clean. So my husband and my dad, they built our coop and I can walk in my coop. I can latch the door. I can clean it out, sanitize it. And that is something that I really appreciated. Unfortunately, when we built our chicken coop, we did it during the height of the crazy lumber. I don't even know what you would have called that. It was just when they were struggling with a lot of like, you know, getting things overseas and stuff like that.
And the COVID inflation hit the, you know, the hardware stores or the Home Depots of the world just as much as it hit everything else. So
yeah,
we had, you know, we picked the prime time for building materials costs.
No, I didn't.
but again, we built it so that we could stand up inside.
Yeah.
You know, most designs from a prefab standpoint or buying one already constructed really wasn't an option. We put vinyl tiling down inside of the actual coop and the
World of Difference,
the nesting boxes. So We only ran it about, I'd say, 20, 24 inches up the actual wall itself.
Yeah, so a vinyl floor. So imagine the floor, and you just get the cheapest stuff you can find.
We went to Home Depot, and we literally went to the clearance section and found vinyl tiling.
Yeah.
And bought the cheapest, ugliest vinyl tile.
I think it was
floor.
Like 30 cents a square feet. Or I don't square, know if it was that 25 much. Cents a square foot, something like that.
If I needed to hose out the inside of the chicken coop, I'd have no problem taking a hose to it.
Yeah.
Which, you know, we painted a sealer around it first. So we sealed the inside, and then we started laying the tiles down, which was a learning process too, because it was starting to get cold once I got there. So
yeah. The
adhesive really wasn't, it didn't stick all that well. So then we ended up nailing some of them down and getting them started so they would hold in place.
Which was fine. I mean, we've had it now 2 years. And now chickens are pesky and they do get bored sometimes. So again, like Matt was saying, we laid it on the bottom and then we went out up about 24 inches. And on top of that, we put all the pine shavings. But they do get bored sometimes and they do peck at the sides of the wall. But the floor that is covered with the pine shavings all the time, it really is probably the cheapest thing that we added to our chicken coop and the most valuable, because chickens poop. They do all of their pooping. I feel like they do all their pooping inside the chicken coop. They do a lot of it outside, but at night when they're nesting on their bars, they do poop. And so when we're shoveling out the chicken coop, I shovel and the floor is clear. Nothing sticks to it. So imagine all that urine and poop, soaking into the floor of like your wooden floor of your coop. And that's why a lot of these prefab chicken coops, they degrade over time because it can't handle all that acid and all that, adverse, material. So that was something that was really, really great for us. But we also did something that we also do, and this is a kind of like a preparation standpoint, is we put on a sheet metal roof on our chicken coop. Most chicken coops that you will buy just come with regular shingled roofs. We did a sheet metal roof on purpose because we wanted to eventually have water catchment off of our roof. So
yeah, and that project's still in the works 2 years
it is.
Later. But
it is. We're getting there.
we're getting there on that. So that really, my biggest thing was I wanted to build a system where the water could be used to give right back to the chickens collected from their own roof, not worrying about, any chemicals, anything like that getting into the water source for the chickens. But really, I don't want to spend time taking care of the chickens as much as
he doesn't.
I can get something else to do it. So if I can set up a rainwater collection system off that roof that gives them enough water that I don't need to go out and give them water every day, that's what I want to do.
And you would be surprised. I forget what the number was, but when it rains, they said with every inch of rain, I forget what they said, but we have like these big blue, like food grade water catchment things. And it, like, you can fill like two of those with like, I think, was it 2 inches of rain or something like that? On that small, I don't know what exactly the measurements, but you would be really surprised how much water you can actually catch off of a small surface is the whole point.
We not only roofed or sheet metal roofed the chicken coop, but the run we built straight off of the coop as well.
Yes.
So one thing for me, when you drive past our house from the front, if you saw the chicken coop in the backyard, you wouldn't even see the run because it runs parallel with it.
Yes.
So really, you wouldn't even necessarily come like driving by, look at it, think like there was anything there that was worth looking at.
Mm-hmm.
But also, that made for a nice straight roof that is probably somewhere in the realm of 20, 25 feet.
Yeah.
Of straight sheet wall or sheet metal roofing. So we have a good amount of surface area to collect rainwater from.
Yeah, we have the gutters on one side so far. We haven't done the other side, but it's probably 20 or 30 feet total, I would say. It's great. So that's something that we really found useful. So, something to think about when you're doing these things, you're going to keep chickens. Like, try to make every project you do, what else can you use? Like, what else can you get out of the project? And we thought, well, we have a chicken coop here. We're going to put it here. We're going to, like, let's collect water. And we thought that was another efficient thing to do. And it's going to be great once we get it finally done.
Mm-hmm.
So, and also obviously the price of lumber is still, it's still on, it's coming down, but it's still high. So we understand that not everybody can build an expensive coop, and we had a budget for it, but it wasn't cheap. Our coop, how much was it, you think?
think it was $2,200 when we were all said and done.
Yeah, and that's for everything. That's the run and the coop. And our chickens, unfortunately, where we live, again, we have about an acre here, but we can't even have our chickens free range. So we had to build an area that was safe for them, but it was also enough that they could live comfortably. So, because they aren't allowed just to walk around our property all day long. So we had to build a rather large run. So that's why all those extra materials are involved in that. But we also wanted to talk to you today about the process of getting chickens from start to finish, because, you know, I feel like the talk right now, especially on social media, is it's almost a joke, but it's the price of eggs. The last time I checked, you know, the price of eggs was upwards of $8 for 18 eggs at our local Walmart, which is a lot. Even our local Aldi store where we live, it's about $4.50 a dozen. And 2 years ago, it was 98 cents all the time. It was less than a dollar a dozen. So that's a huge increase over the few years. So a lot of people say, well, how do you get chickens? And, you know, what age chickens do I get? And there's a couple different processes for this. And we touched a little bit on it last week when we talked about, you know, what we would recommend. And for people that are trying to get chickens and get eggs right away, we don't recommend starting with day old chicks, because day old chicks, they need care. You should be home to be able to care for them in the beginning, because they require a lot. They require a certain temperature. They have to be very, very warm for the first few weeks of life. So if you're just looking to get eggs, we would recommend going to your local supply store or chick store, and you can get things called pullets. And pullets are chickens that are ready to lay eggs, and they can be acclimated altogether. You can talk to your local place we have a place up where we live that sells pullets, and they also sell chicks. And we would suggest getting pullets because they're just ready to lay eggs, and you're going to get eggs right away instead of waiting, you know, 6 to 9 months to get your first egg. If you do want to go the route of, you know, baby chicks, you can get day old chicks, and you can get them at your local Tractor Supply store. Or if you want really special chicks, I really wanted certain breeds because I know this sounds crazy now looking back, I'm like, I probably wouldn't do this again, but I really wanted like rainbow colored eggs. I wanted the pastel blues, the pastel greens. I wanted a couple really deep browns, and I did get all those, but I handpicked every single chicken that I got. And so we got chickens delivered to us via the United States Postal Service.
Well, you had to pick them up. They did come.
Yeah, they did. They were mailed right to our United States Postal Service locally. And they called us. They're like, hey, we have livestock for you. And I was like, okay. And I went and picked them up. And thankfully, all of them survived. And they were in a box with some holes. And it was the weirdest experience, I think, probably ever, to get livestock delivered by a post person. Like, it's just crazy. Saying there, I was like, this has happened a lot. And she's like, actually, you would believe it's very common. I was like, wow. So they know how to deal with that and everything. So that was really cool. My kids loved it. We got to pick up baby chicks, and they were cheeping and chirping, and it was a really beautiful experience for my kids. But beyond that, I probably wouldn't do it again. It's a ton of work. They were in our house for 8 weeks.
A long time.
Yeah, they're in our house for 8 weeks. They have to be, you know, over 100 degrees for the first week or so. It's a ton of work. You have a lot of ability for them to possibly pass away in the first couple of weeks. Thankfully, all of ours survived, and we are still with the original chickens that we got. And they're actually on my nerve right now because it's been 3 weeks and we haven't gotten any eggs at all, which is really surprising. Last winter, we did get eggs over the winter, but it was a few, like we get like two or three a week. And some people, this is another thing about chickens. If you want chickens to lay all year round, it is a personal decision to put lights on chickens in their coop at night while they're supposed to be sleeping. And it keeps them thinking that it's daytime. And so they will lay more eggs for you. We personally feel that
the chickens need a certain amount of light.
Yes.
So there's it's a part of the eye that registers the light for the bird that develops enough of this protein or enzyme that it actually stimulates them to lay an egg every day. So by having the electric on, and it's not necessarily so much like all night long, as it is, they need an extra 4 hours after,
the 15 hours.
You know, our actual sunlight is gone to get them to lay. And so a lot of times you'll put a light inside of the chicken coop on a timer so that it goes off around the time that it would during summertime anyway, right?
We just, yeah.
you know, that gives them the extra hours they need in order to lay the eggs on a daily basis.
Yeah, so that's fine. If you choose to do that, like, no judgment, but that is totally fine. We just decided that, you know, like females, chickens are born with the amount of eggs they're ever going to lay. So we're not in a situation like a survival situation that we need to have a certain amount of eggs every single day for our family to survive. We over the summer get plenty of eggs that we can put those up, and I do a bunch of water glassing, so we have the ability to have eggs over the winter that we previously preserved. So for us, we just let them do the natural nature thing, and they get to rest over the winter. But they are really resting right now though, because I have not gotten an egg in a few weeks. So I sent Matt out today to switch their water out, and he's like, nope, there's still no eggs. And I'm like, man, like, can we just get one egg, please? They're a bunch of freeloaders, but that's okay. We'll give them some more time. But is there anything else that you wanted to add about, just keeping chickens in general?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think we, you know, one thing we did was boarded off the nesting boxes when we had the young chicks and we first introduced them to the coop.
Mm-hmm.
So they weren't quite ready yet to start laying, but we're ready to be outdoors.
Yes.
And so we boarded the nesting boxes off in order to keep them out of there. Not an essential thing to do, but
if you want clean eggs, it is.
We don't have to clean the eggs at all when we get them out of our nesting box, which, you know, I think is something that's important, especially if you want to preserve them for longer periods of time.
I'm so glad that we did that.
You don't want to wash them right away, right?
Yeah.
So that helped us out with keeping the eggs cleaner, if you will. And
yeah, so exactly. So what we did, a couple points about that. When you first get chickens and you want them to know where their home is, a lot of people that I even know have to chase their chickens into their coop at night. They have to get them all gathered up every day in the summer and spring and get them to go into their coop at night so they are safe and, you know, away from predators. We don't do that because our chickens, when we first got them, we put them in their chicken coop once they were old enough to not be inside anymore. So they were able to handle the weather, and we put them into their chicken coop and we locked them in there for 3 days. They were not allowed to go outside. They were stuck in that coop for 3 days, which sounds kind of cruel, but it's not, because they were getting used to their surroundings. After 3 days, we opened the latch to their little door of their coop and they were able to leave and go into their chicken run. And then at night, they know, well, hey, our security is in that big box over there, that big little house. So they would go in at night. And so they put themselves to bed every single night. As soon as it gets dusk, they are walking into their coop and getting all cozy on their roosting bars. And for roosting bars, we suggest 2x4 pieces of wood. And you want to have them on the wide side down. So when they are cold in the winter, they can put their feet flat on the 2x4 and be able to kind of sit down on their feet and keep their feet warm. If they are sitting on the skinny edge of a 2x4, they aren't able to sit down on that properly and their toes can get frostbite. So that's just a little tip for you there. But as like Matt was saying, for their nesting boxes, when we first introduced them to their coop, they were not able to go in their nesting boxes where they would eventually lay eggs. They didn't even know that part existed because we had a big board over it. Once we found our first egg, it was random. It was like in the middle of the run, and it was covered in dirt because they just like popped it out and they were like, oh, I guess I'm just going to leave this here. So when we found our first egg, we then knew that it was time. So we got ceramic eggs, fake eggs, that we put in their nesting boxes, one in each nesting box. And then we uncovered the nesting boxes, and then they were able to go explore and say, oh, like that's where we're supposed to lay our eggs. And so now very rarely will we ever have any type of dirty egg or anything like that, because they know that they come in, they go lay their eggs, and then they leave. And that is their purpose and that is their job. So it really does save us time, especially because when we put our eggs, you know, when we refrigerate our eggs, and then especially when we water glass, because I do a lot of water glassing, and you can't put washed eggs in your lime solution. And you also can't put eggs that are covered in any type of debris in your lime solution. So if you don't have any clean eggs, water glassing isn't going to work for you. So that's something that's really nice. Mm-hmm. I really like that. But anyway, I would suggest, if you have any questions regarding the keeping of chickens, please comment on our YouTube. You can also comment on our podcast, and or you could reach out to us. You can email us at info@faithhomestead.com, and I'm happy to answer any questions that you may have in regards to keeping chickens. We know that the world is kind of crazy right now, and eggs are really expensive. People are cutting down on their consumption of eggs. And so if keeping chickens is something that you're allowed to do where you live, we highly recommend it. It is, I mean, it is initial, there is an initial investment, but you know, chickens also, they eat all of your table scraps. So of course you have to buy chicken feed or let them free range for the most part. If you're not allowed to let them free range, you're going to have to buy chicken feed and supplement with some like treats and stuff like that. But everything that you make at your house for your family, little bits of bell pepper that are left over, noodles, things like that can all go on a bucket in your kitchen, and that can go out every single day, and that helps supplement the food cost.
Even chicken?
Okay, so no, I don't. I have, you gotta bring that up. So it's funny. Some people will even feed their chicken. I can't do it. I can't, also can't feed my chickens eggs. A lot of people in the summer get an abundance of eggs, especially those people that have like hundreds of chickens. And they're like, yeah, like we scramble about 300 eggs a week and just feed it right back to the chickens. I can't do it. I cannot do it. So you may.
But you can.
You can, but I can't. So my chickens will not eat any of their own pet products, and they will not be fed back their own eggs. So that is up to you to do. But you can do it. It is totally safe and fine, but I just can't get over that hump, okay? But we thank you for watching us today. Again, if you have any questions, please email us at info@faithhomestead.com. You can find us on all social media @Faith Homestead, and we hope you have a great Sunday. Take care.
Have a great day.